Welcome to the Amicus podcast. In this episode, I speak with Andrew Horsfall, who is the Assistant Dean of International Programs at Syracuse University College of Law. So Andrew's he's got quite an interesting profile. He graduated in law. He worked as a legal profession in the US, and now he looks at, amongst other things, applicants for the University College of Law. So part of the reason why I wanted to speak with him was just to get an understanding from an insider's point of view on the application process. So we discuss course selections, how to approach scholarships, and just essentially what to look out for when you're making the decision to pursue a master's degree. I hope you enjoy this episode of the Amicus podcast. The general versus the specialized, know, and that's also a bit difficult. So do you think there's any sort of advice that one should keep in mind?
Yeah, certainly. So the specialized LLM programs are becoming more and more prevalent. There are more and more of them as schools move out of a general. I think schools will always offer a general option, but they're moving into the specialized as a way to maybe set themselves apart from others competitively. Again, you know, it really depends on the goals of the student and what they're looking to get out of the program. In a general setting, you're getting more exposure and more opportunity to take a variety of different subjects, classes, and be exposed to different perspectives and professors. And that can be very valuable to you. You know, if you wanted to take an IP class with a human rights class and a general business law course, you can position yourself later in a job interview or in a job search as someone who is a generalist and has had broad exposure to another legal system or comparative legal studies. And that can be valuable to certain employers. On the other hand, obviously, specializing or pursuing a specialized LLM degree gives, you know, it's more comprehensive exposure, deeper knowledge to a subject, and you can sort of carve yourself out as an expert in something. So it's another one of those answers that it kind of depends. It needs to be something that is researched. I think, you know, if a school is offering a specialization in IP or in human rights, go further than that and take a look at the curriculum. Take a look at the requirements that are needed and see if it's truly a specialization. You know, is the school just sort of cobbling together all of its human rights courses and saying, now we have a specialization? Or have they actually created specific new classes or new academic opportunities for students specifically in this track or in this program to pursue? And I think that will be interesting to see, you know, as you compare programs, which schools have really taken an initiative to carve out specialization versus maybe haven't taken those steps.
Okay. And so, again, I'm not going to put you in a spot here, but so one of the common queries we get is fresh out of law school or work for a few years. So instead of asking, you know, which is better, sure. I'd rather just switch and say, what are the pros and cons of each?
Yeah, absolutely. I get this question all the time, you know, whether it's from fresh graduates who are concerned that maybe they're not as competitive in the admissions process, or the practicing professionals who think that, you know, they're maybe out of step with coming back into an academic setting. I have to say that, you know, here at Syracuse, and I think with most of the admissions professionals I've worked with over the years, there is no preferred pathway to an LLM program. I think having come directly from a bachelor's program, you're more familiar with, and I think it's an easier transition into an academic setting because you've come from that setting, and it's just fresher in your mind and your memory. But also there's a value in taking some time away from your studies, getting some practice experience, and then coming back into an academic setting, maybe with a more focused goal. So those are sort of personal factors to think about. But from an admissions perspective, we don't prioritize either. What we really look for is, how have you spent your time? How has the quality of that time been spent? So if you're just coming from a bachelor's program, we're focusing specifically on your time in law school, in the undergraduate degree. Have you volunteered? Have you taken a leadership role in certain organizations? Have you done internships? We're looking at the quality of that time spent. Likewise with your practice, you know, have there been gaps in your professional experience that we might need to talk about? Have you had a continually or upwardly mobile progression in your career pathway? Have you been promoted year after year? That's interesting for us to know too. So it's a separate inquiry for both groups of students, but really we're looking for the quality of time. There's a factor known as the multiplier effect, and it's something that I'm familiar with. It's a criteria that I look for in you know, outside scholarship applications that I review for other organizations. But it's something that I try to look for in applications for my own program. Is this person someone who has a multiplier effect? Is it a strong multiplier effect? So that is someone who is a leader, someone who can motivate themselves, motivate others. Those students tend to be more successful. They take better initiative. They have a bit more control over their, and I guess maturity, over their approach to their studies. And they generally just tend to transition better into what is really a rigorous academic program. So again, no right pathway, no best pathway, but we look at the quality of what you've done up until now as a measure of perhaps, you know, how you'll do in an LLM program with us.
Okay. So you have spoken, you know, about what you look for in prospective applicants. But is there anything else that an applicant should keep in mind? Like in terms of what are the qualities that, I know it's tough to generalize, but what are the kind of qualities that law schools look for?
Yeah, I mean, I can sort of walk you through, give you a narrative of how I approach an application. There's, you know, I think every admissions officer has their own formula that they've sort of developed and created along the way. When I get an application, the first thing I do is skim through the resume. That gives me a basic chronology of what the student has accomplished, either in law school or in their profession. Gives me a snapshot in terms of what I'm going to read about more later. So while the resume is not the most important piece, it's that first look into what the application will reveal later for me. I'll say that for me, a resume has never made a decision or broken, you know, a decision, but it's a helpful piece of the admissions profile that when done well, when organized and clean, then the resume can be a useful tool for me. And then the next thing I read is the personal statement, because I'm most interested in hearing in your own words what you've accomplished, what you've done in the past, and why now is the LLM program a good fit for you and really that natural next step for you. And so that gives me, opens a window into your motivation and what you're hoping to accomplish. And then from there, I go into more of the technical details. So I'll look through your transcripts, not only looking at the cumulative GPA, not that final GPA, but also looking at the courses that you've taken semester by semester. How did you trend? So did you start really strong and then maybe your studies got weaker along the way, or did it go the other way where you maybe struggled in the beginning but then hit your stride later and ended up doing very well? I look for those types of things, the types of grades you've received over time. And then lastly, I'll take a look at your recommendation letters just as sort of a final, you know, either to confirm or reveal anything new about your application that I maybe hadn't picked up yet. That's my general strategy, my general approach. In terms of, you know, the transcripts and the courses, academic quality is important. It doesn't need to be the most important factor, but we want to make sure that that you've challenged yourself academically and that you're ready for what will be a rigorous academic program.
Okay.
So while we don't require, you know, top grades or, you know, all A's. We want to make sure that you have, you've been tested well enough, and there's a foundation there that then we can build from in an LLM program here.
Okay. Yeah, so you mentioned the three, right? The letter recommendations, the personal statement, and the resume. But just to get sort of down to the nitty-gritties, how much time do you think one should devote to... Because I know a lot of people... I think the personal statement is the most difficult part, you know, which really sucks. Yeah. So any ground rules or anything to keep in mind?
Definitely. So this is actually a good time to say... So in terms of the personal statements, I actually have a separate webinar that I've created, and perhaps at some point in the future we can find a time to present it, because I do a whole presentation on how to draft a successful or meaningful personal statement, and also how to prepare for a Skype interview, which here at Syracuse is another piece of the admissions process. In terms of the personal statement, I wouldn't overthink it, and I wouldn't make it too long. You know, for me, I've read very good personal statements that are one page, 1.5 pages, double-spaced. You can say a lot with very little space. I would not exceed 2 pages. I think just as a general matter, anything more than 2 pages in a personal statement can really just get too long, and admissions professionals like myself don't have a lot of time to devote to reading the personal statement. There's other pieces of the application we want to get into, and you can really say what you want in a very short amount of space.
Okay.
I would advise the student on a personal statement to really take that opportunity to tell your story. So walk me through a little bit of your past. Talk to me about what interests you about the law generally, what got you motivated to study law as a bachelor's student. Maybe talk about some of the things you've done in your undergraduate program. If you were leading a moot court or on a journal, if you've done internships, you know, bring me into some of that. Tell me about what you've done there. And then end it with a paragraph or two about why now this LLM program is the next fit for you, the next thing for you. I'm looking for information about what's motivating you to apply. Is it something related to Syracuse? Is it something related to wanting to go to the United States? Is there a job waiting for you when you get home that requires this LLM? Your motivating factors are also important and interesting for me as an admissions professional to review. So
okay, and just in terms of time frame, I know there's no one answer for everyone, but
sure.
How long at the very minimum should one spend? How early should one apply? Start the application process.
Yeah, of course. Yep. So, in terms of when to apply, I would think within a year of your enrollment. So maybe 10 to 11 months from the time you want to enroll, I would start thinking about the application process. Now, I have students who apply 3 months before they come to the program, and that's totally fine as well. But I think that applying sooner is certainly better. And I'll bring you in on a little bit of sort of inside information about how we run our promotional campaigns. And I think most other law schools operate this way as well. We as law schools want to give our applicants and our admitted students as much information as possible about our program, right? We want you to know about Syracuse and our community and what opportunities will exist for you here. And so we have set up these email campaigns, we call them nurture streams, and it's just information that we like to put out there for students. And so the sooner that you can plug into these campaigns, and you do that through applying and then becoming admitted, the sooner our students can start to get more robust information about our program. So we'll send information about housing in Syracuse, our curriculum, faculty spotlights, connecting with students, and we want you to be able to get all that information sooner rather than later so that you can then ask us questions, you can evaluate that information against what you're hearing from other schools and other programs, and it just gives you more time to make a better, more informed decision. So the sooner the better is just my general mantra. But certainly if it takes time, if you're, you know, 6 months out or 3 months out from enrolling and you'd like to apply, certainly that's okay too. My piece of advice on that is you should always feel free to engage with the school. You should be asking questions. It helps me to know who is interested in the school, who's maybe done their research and has follow-up questions. That's very important as well. And so you want to give yourself time to do all of that. So.
Okay. And so you mentioned you should engage with the school. So usually it's through the admissions office. But do you think that professors also open, like faculty, should you reach out to them?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, so on any law school's website, as you're reviewing information about an LLM program, we also have information about professors and the courses that they teach. And if you have a specialization or there's a particular subject area that you're interested in, you should absolutely feel free to reach out to the faculty members. The admissions office can help make those introductions for you. So if you're working with an admissions officer like myself and you want to connect with a professor in a particular area, I can help make those introductions and start those conversations for the students. I think that most foreign students will find that coming to the United States, particularly, and this is not to denigrate or separate out any other country, but my own experience in having foreign students come here is that the general observation is that our professors here in the U.S. tend to be more accessible, a bit more approachable, and so they really want to know who our students are. They want to know if you have concerns, if you're struggling, and just to make sure that everything is going well for you. So generally, professors in the U.S. tend to be a bit more open and willing to connect with students who are making decisions about what to do, where to study, what to study, etc. Another very good resource for incoming students, whether you're applying or have been admitted, another very good resource is our current students as well as our alumni. And again, the admissions office should be more than willing to help connect students with, connect incoming students with our current students and our alumni. And those students will also give you a very healthy perspective on our faculty, our professors, and hopefully can reinforce some of what I've just shared in terms of their willingness and approach to working with you. So.
Okay. I know you've touched upon scholarships earlier, but just sort of to go back a few steps, they're really expensive. The LLMs are, by and large, fairly expensive. So, you know, a lot of queries that we get is, should I spend so much money?
Yeah, absolutely. That is, I mean, as much as I love to talk about these sort of softer factors and points of information about how great an LLM program is and all the opportunities that you can open with it, without a doubt, the first thing, or usually the second thing that students are concerned about is the cost, and that is completely reasonable. I'll first say that LLM programs are expensive. I know that. I live in this world, but I know I talk to students all the time, and I know how expensive it is. I wish they were more affordable. I wish they were more accessible. And I know my colleagues as well share that sentiment. So with that said, I also consider LLMs to be highly valuable in terms of the credential that they give. You know, there's a way of looking at LLM programs as expensive or valuable. I think those are two different things. And the reason I look at them as valuable is for what they can unlock for students in terms of opportunities. So for example, in the US, if you're foreign educated and you come to do an LLM here, you can unlock the ability to do the New York bar exam or the DC bar exam in Washington, DC, or the California bar exam. And so having that LLM on its own is certainly great. It's a master's credential. It gives you more exposure, more expertise in the subject, in the area of law, but it can also unlock very tangible credentials and opportunities for you. The ability to have a law license and practice law in another jurisdiction, I think is significant and valuable. I just want to temper the conversation a bit. I know they're expensive, but I also think that they do provide significant opportunities and open opportunities for students. And I think students should also be looking at that as well. Even if your goal is not to stay in the US and practice law in New York, simply having the ability, the eligibility to take the New York bar exam, or if you have taken the New York bar exam, to go home back to your home country or to go to another country and have that credential makes you much more competitive as a job applicant. So there are opportunities that open both in the US and outside the US with what the LLM can unlock for you.
Okay.
All of that said, I think it's important to mention, in terms of while we're talking about scholarships, while the price on the website is what is listed, it's very rare for students to pay the full price. So it's quite common and quite acceptable to open a conversation with a school and ask about scholarships and ask about appealing scholarships. So if you're offered maybe $10,000 or $20,000 at the first pass at admission, maybe a month or two later you evaluate and you say, you know, I really think I need or deserve more scholarship funding. That's a conversation I welcome from students because I want to know what their financial means are, what their need level is, and if there's a way that I can help them within some of the boundaries and limits that I have, then I'd like to know that because I want to make sure that students are making good decisions and getting the most out of whatever scholarship potential that they might have. So there is opportunity there for an open conversation about scholarships, and it's quite common for students to be receiving scholarships here.
It's common for across U.S. schools as well? Or?
Yeah, I would say yes. And I've spoken to many colleagues on the road traveling and here locally as well. I think that the trend for scholarships in the United States is that schools are giving more and more scholarships. It's becoming increasingly competitive for schools to attract quality candidates. And so scholarships are just part of what it's like to do business here in this field right now. And it's something that schools are willing to do. I think we're willing to make that investment in students. I'll qualify it a bit and say that, you know, I as a school, Syracuse, and I know many other schools, can't give away full scholarships. We can't give away the program for free. But schools are getting more, I guess I can't say more open to scholarships, but just they have more flexibility in how they can give out scholarship funds to students. And I think that's a good thing, in part because the U.S. dollar is strengthening. So it's simply getting more expensive for foreign currencies to be spent here. We know that. We know that as an industry, that it's getting more expensive for foreign students. And so while there are a lot of economic factors out of our control, we are trying. I mean, scholarships are one way that we can temper that burden and maybe try to equalize that a bit. So it's a common feature of the admissions process that more and more schools are getting comfortable with and working with. So
you would just encourage applicants to just, you know, directly just write and state their cause.
Absolutely. I mean, so it's a very fair question in an email to just ask about scholarship opportunities that schools offer. Many schools might have a separate scholarship application that you fill out for consideration of additional funding. I, as part of my admissions process, I have a Skype conversation with every applicant, and it's usually during that conversation that I ask about scholarships and I ask about funding sources, and that opens a conversation for students to then talk about what their level of need is. And again, I welcome that. And I think most admissions professionals will welcome that conversation. So totally fair question. You won't impact or damage your chances for admission if you ask about scholarships. It's quite common and now quite normal for us to be talking about this with students.
Okay. Just sort of wrapping up towards the end, you've been an admissions officer for a while. You've been working with potential LLM applicants for a while now. So any sort of final pieces of advice that you would like to share?
Sure, absolutely. So in terms of final advice, I touched on this maybe earlier, but I can't understate the value of connecting with the school. So beyond just going to the website, filling out the application, and then waiting for a decision, I really think to get the maximum benefit out of this process and this search is to engage with the school. And that's, you know, not just emailing them back and forth, but look for them on their social media channels, start following them, engage with them on social media, watch their online videos, ask them questions that they should be able to answer. Ask to speak with current students, with alumni, either from your home country or perhaps your home city, but also in a practice area that you may want to work in later. Schools should be very receptive to this. I know we are here. If I know that a student is following us on Twitter, liking things on Facebook, emailing me periodically, I know that they're dialed in, that they're informed, and that they're more likely to convert and become an admitted student, but also a matriculated student here. So it's one of the best things that you can do for yourself to inform yourself. And beyond the website, there are many, many ways for you to do that as a student. So take the time, enjoy the process, and really make sure you stay engaged with the school.
Okay. All right, great. Yeah. So thanks a lot, Andrew, for this.
Yeah, absolutely. This was a real pleasure. I've had a really good time talking to you about some of the experiences that I've had working with students and sharing some of the advice I've picked up along the way. Would be happy to explore in the future a webinar, maybe of a specific topic or subject that you or your students might be interested in, and would be happy to continue working with you. So thank you so much.